Amen. All right. Good to be here this evening. Good to see each one of you. Trust you've had a good week this week. And I do have much to be in prayer about. Don't forget, once again, our revival be April the 22nd through the 24th. You'll be much in prayer about that. And I hope you have been already. Looking forward to a good time in the Lord then. And I remember Brother Bradley Boones, he'll be traveling in from Burnsville, North Carolina. And him and his family will be coming in for us to be with us that week. Don't forget that. Several other meetings going on around about us. I know, I believe Gum Orchard starting a meeting tomorrow night. Brother Josh Jenkins up here at Willis Gap, he'll be having a meeting going from the 21st to the 23rd. Brother Todd McKeon will be preaching it. And just several meetings going on around about us. You remember each one of those. Remember our revival. Remember each one that'll be coming in. Then, let me give you an announcement real quick while it's on my mind. Lord willing, Kendra, you'll have to help me. I don't remember what week it was. But Lord willing, we will be having Vacation Bible School this year. We're going to need some help with that. We'll get together very, very soon and work out some of those details. But what we'll do it a little bit different what we've done in the past, I believe. The adults and the teenagers, they staying in the sanctuary. I'm going to get some young preachers come in and preach to us. And then some of the smaller kids will split up in some classes and do that, try to have some crafts and try to have some things as well. That'll be June 20th through the 25th, all right? And that'll be our Vacation Bible School. Looking forward to a good time, Lord, there. We'll give you some more details about that. But you be praying about teaching a class, helping out how you can. Looking forward to a good time in the Lord there. All right. Then, seemed like there was something else I was going to mention to you, but I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'll give it to you later. All right. Do have many prayer requests on my heart. Ask you to help me remember, several special requests this evening, if you would, if you'd help me pray about those. Team member, each one that's been mentioned here lately. Team member, our shut-ins, those unable to be here. Remember each one of those. And, just much. Remember all those that are lost around about us. And you remember the service tonight. But maybe tonight, before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, somebody have a special request on your heart.
I got a special. Y'all remember me
and my family. Amen. Somebody else? Somebody else? Somebody else? All hearts free. Somebody else? All hearts free. All right. If so, ask Brother Kenny if he would take the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Somebody got some on your heart, something you need to do. You mind the Lord this evening. Amen, Rob. Somebody else? Somebody else? All hearts free. All right. Take your Bibles tonight. Go in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 26. Exodus chapter number 26. While you find your places, let me say this. You pray for me tonight. I really, really want to get the rest of the roof on this tabernacle, but probably am not going to get to do it. I'll just be honest with you. I was looking a while ago. I've been working kindly all week. I knew I was going to be kindly busy today and had some things coming up this week. So I've been working on it all week, just off and on. And I really didn't realize how much until today, how much of an outline that I had. I got just a little bit over 7 pages, and I doubt we're going to get it all covered tonight, but we'll try to get it at least 3/4 of the way done. We got half of it done last week, so we'll try to get at least one more covering tonight, and but we'll just keep an eye on the time, and I'll do my best not to keep you all night, okay? But Exodus chapter 26, for sake of time, let's just read verse number 14. We read the first 14 verses last week. Deals with the coverings of the tabernacle. We found that fine linen covering. Then the covering of the goat's hair. Then in verse 14, the Bible said, "And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins." And we talked a little bit last week about how that was peculiar in some ways. The first two coverings, it took 13 verses to deal with. Then the last two just took one verse. The Lord just simply said, "Thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins, dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins." Now, so that's what I want to deal with tonight. But just real quick, let's recap and cover a little bit, remind ourselves of what we saw last week. Now, the roof of the tabernacle consisted of 4 consecutive layers, and we looked last week at the first two from the inside, working our way outside. Remember that. The first covering was the fine linen, which was embroidered with purple, scarlet, and blue, and it was patterned with the image of the cherubim. It pictured the splendors of Christ. We talk about how it could only be viewed by those worshiping inside the tabernacle. It shows tonight that first covering that was viewed from the inside shows and pictures the resurrection glory of Christ. It shows the way that He appears now after the resurrection. The next covering was the curtain of goat's hair. You remember we looked briefly at the Great Day of Atonement, the two goats, the sacrificial goat as well as the scapegoat. This curtain pictures Christ as our sin bearer. We talked about how that one goat died for their sin. The other goat had the sins of the people placed upon its head and was led by the fit man into the land not inhabited. This goat's hair curtain was placed on top of the fine linen, signifying when our sins was placed upon Him. And I told you that fine linen pictured His resurrection glory. That goat's hair pictured Him taking our place and bearing our sins. And so the reason that goat's hair went on top of the fine linen, there could have been no resurrection had he not taken our place and died for our sins. So that catches up a little bit about what we see tonight. And remember now that this resurrecting glory could only be viewed inside the tabernacle. And you and I tonight never saw the splendors and beauties of Christ until we were placed in Christ. The Bible said we were baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. And until that moment, we could not see His splendor and His beauty. So we see the pictures. We see the typologies tonight. Now let's deal quickly with this ram's skin dyed red. Now, the next covering that goes on top of that, you've got the fine linen, beautiful, the purple, the scarlet, the blue, and the white, and the cherubims that are embroidered into that curtain. And then you've got that goat's hair that goes on top of that. And then the next thing that the children of Israel would have done, that it took this ram skin and dyed it red, and then it would have been placed on top of that goat's hair. Now the ram skin, of course, represents the substitutionary work of Christ. It speaks of the substitutionary atonement. It literally shows that He died. They died red because of the blood that He shed for you and I. Peter tells us, as much as you know, not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but rather by the precious blood of Christ. He took our place, became our substitute, had shed His blood for our behalf. Now, that's what it represents. That's what it symbolizes. Him taking our place and shedding His blood to redeem us out of our sins. So we see tonight the substitution. But then I want you to notice with me the shade. Now, you said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, it's interesting. These two things we know about this covenant. Not much. Just one verse is all that the Lord really gave them about it. But here's what He said. He said, I want you to take and make a covering of ram skins dyed red. Notice the shade of the covering. It had to be dyed red. It could not just be a regular ram skin, but they had to alter the color. They had to dye it red. Now, red, of course, speaks of the blood of Christ that He shed to atone for our sins. Now, notice with me the progression. All right, we've hit this already, but I want you to see how these coverings work. The fine linen pictures His resurrection glory. That's what we as believers see placed inside of Christ. We see His beauty. We see His majesty. But on top of that beautiful linen was the goat's hair, showing Him as our sin bearer. The only reason tonight we enter into the splendors of Christ is because He took our sin. Because our sin was placed upon Him. The Bible said, He that knew no sin became sin for us. Isn't that right? So we see the progression. But then that ram skin dyed red is placed upon that. Hey, can I say this tonight? It would have done us no good for Him to take our sin upon Himself had He not been the spotless Lamb of God. Had He not been willing to die in our stead and shed His blood. God has always required blood. And had He not been able and willing to shed His blood, you and I would never be able to enter in the presence of God. And all that tonight is pictured in these coverings. Had He not been willing to shed His blood, had He not been willing to bear our sins, then we'd never be able to be in Christ and see the beauties and the splendors and the all-sufficiency of Christ that you and I enjoy tonight. So we see the progression of these coverings in the shade. But not only that, notice with me the skin. Two things the Bible tells us about this, about this covering. It tells us that it was dyed red, and it tells us it was made of a ram skin. Now, the skins were sold together to make a covering that fell all the way to the ground on three sides. On both the sides of the tabernacle, the covering would have made its way all the way to the ground as well as on the back. God hit me. Those who were inside the tabernacle would have been completely covered by these ram skins dyed red. I don't know if y'all get that or not, but I'm about to come unglued. Let me say it one more time. It would have went all the way to the ground on the left and the right. And on the back, it would have went all the way to the ground. If you was inside the tabernacle, you would have been completely covered and protected by this ram skin dyed red. This speaks of the complete covering of the sinner who's been placed under the blood. You realize tonight that when we were saved by the grace of God, we've been covered by the blood. Amen, friend, that's right. I've never laid my head on my pillow at night and wondered if one little thing might have been missed. I've never wondered if one little thing slipped through. And we realize tonight, don't we, that if one little sin had not been covered, if one little thing had not been atoned for, then hell would still await you and I. But aren't you glad tonight we've been covered by the blood? Amen, friend, all the way to the ground. The worshiper on the inside of the tabernacle was completely covered by these ram skins dyed red. So we've seen tonight that we've seen the shade of the skin. We've seen the skin. But then I want you to know, swim me the standard tonight, and we'll hurry. Many today, now we realize this, there's many today that we ignore and want to remove the blood. You don't have to go very far at all, and you'll hear somebody say this, I just get tired of all those songs about the blood. I just wish he'd quit preaching about the blood. I heard a man not too long ago tell me, there's things more to preach than just the blood. That seems everybody wants to get rid of the blood. But I've got news for you tonight, friend. The shedding of blood has always been God's standard. There's never been a time that God did not require the shedding of blood for sins. It is His standard. In order for there to be an atonement of sin, there must be blood shed. In fact, not only that, but in order for there to be a real atonement of sins, there must be a substitute. Is that right? Somebody has to be willing and available and able to take the place of the sinner and die in their stead. You say, preacher, I just don't know about that. It's the only way this evening. It's the only way laid out in Scripture for sins to be atoned for. There must be a substitute. In fact, if you'll bear with me, I'll show you tonight. Book of Genesis, remember Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? After they sinned, the Bible said they made for themselves aprons of leaves. Isn't that right? When God, Isaac, God came looking for them and cried out, Adam, where art thou? And they went and hid themselves from the presence of God, for they realized, the Bible said, that their eyes had been opened and they knew they were naked. And do you know what the very first thing that God did was? The Bible said He made them coats of skin. Isn't that right? Now let me say this. Blood was shed and an animal had to die. There had to be a substitute that was able and available to shed its blood in order to atone for Adam and Eve's sin. In fact, most believe tonight, you can believe whatever you want to, nobody knows. But most believe, do you have any idea what most believe it was? That them coats of skins were made out of? Most believe it was a ram. That God, I don't know tonight, I'm just telling you what most people believe. That God, but I do know this, blood was shed, isn't that right? And you say, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, I tell you what, you go find any deer, any cow, any sheep, anything you want to, and bring me back your skin, and no shedding blood, isn't that right? Blood was shed, and a substitute was made in order to atone for their sin. That animal had to die in order for them to be covered and for them to live. Now, remember, fast forward just a little bit through your Bible. Remember Cain and Abel. The Bible said that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and God would not accept it. Isn't that right? Cain brought the best that his hands had grown. He brought out of his garden, if you would, present it to the Lord. And the Bible said that the Lord would not accept it. He was not pleased. Notice this, there must be a substitution. Blood must be shed. Abel, on the other hand, brought a ram. A firstling of the flocks, what the Bible said. Blood was shed, and the ram took the place of Abel. Abel and Cain both had sinned. It was time to make an offering of the Lord. And that ram took the place of Abel. Blood was shed. God was appeased. A substitute was made. And Abel's sins were atoned for. And the Bible said that Abel's sacrifice was pleasing unto the Lord. Isn't that right? Not only that, Abraham and Isaac, Genesis 22. We know the story tonight, how the Lord, the Bible said the Lord came and told Abraham, take thine only son Isaac and go to the mountain wherever I tell you. The Bible said he told him to offer him there. It's a burnt offering. Isn't that right? You know the story tonight. I don't have to turn and read it. But you remember the story, how they's walking up the mountain. And you know the story. Abraham told those young men to bow there with the ashes. And he said, man, the young men, the lad will go yonder to worship and come back again. Walking up the mountain, the Bible said that Isaac looked over to his daddy. He said, daddy, I see the fire, I see the knife. But where is the sacrifice? Do you remember what the Bible said? Abraham told him, he said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. Isn't that right? They went up to the top of the mountain. You see the picture tonight. Abraham takes his son by and leaves him there on the altar and just about, God hit me, just about ready to take his son's life. And Isaac had sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Isn't that right? The law required that Isaac die. Oh, my soul, I'm about to come unglued. How can I say this? I hadn't thought about it till tonight. Listen to me. There was a time in my life, Ronald, that I was bound by sin. Laid upon the altar, and the law required that I must die. That's just about the time the stroke was getting ready to be made. Mark, you had the Bible said a voice came from heaven, and Abraham turned and looked, and behold, a ram caught a thicket, by his horns. What did the Bible said? What's this? Genesis 22:13. The Bible said Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. Watch this. In the stead of his son. What that means? That means instead of slaying Isaac, that ram was a substitute. That ram took, y'all ain't getting that, in the stead of his son. God hit me. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You know what happened when I can't get into all this? Have you heard me talk about being called by the thorns, by the horns, by the thicket? All that significant, all that points to Christ. Listen, Isaac deserved to die. The law required that Isaac die. And Abraham was about to slay his son. He heard a voice and turned and looked behind him. There's that man called the thicket. And he realized what happened to Abraham. Cut his son loose. Took him off of the altar of judgment. And took that ram and placed it in his stead. And the ram was a substitute. They died so that Isaac could live. Isn't that what Christ did for us? We deserve to die. But thank God at Calvary. The Lamb of God. Died so that you and I could live. It ought to have been us at Calvary. We ought to die at Calvary. But thank God he died in our stead. He took our place. God has always required a substitute and bloodshed in order for the guilty to live. Remember over there, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, I believe it is, chapter 5 or chapter 7, 1. I preached some time ago on that, the gospel in a bird's nest. And that dam had to die. That dam was taken so that the eggs were taken so that the dam could go free. We talk about the innocent died so the guilty could live. God's always required a substitute. The innocent must die so that the guilty can live. It must be a substitute. Yeah. Not only that, what about the Good Samaritan? Remember that story? Remember that account? You say, preacher, I don't see any substitute in that. Watch what your Bible said. Luke 10 verse 33, you know the story, I'll not read all of it. You remember the man sitting there by the wayside and all the priests come by and all those come by and wouldn't help him. Then all of a sudden the Bible said, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was. That just about make me shake. Came where he was. He said, preacher, what do you mean? What the Lord did, what our substitute, what our ram, what God's lamb do. He left the splinters of glory, took on a robe of flesh, and thank God not came to where I was. I didn't have to make my way to Him. He come to where we were. Amen, friend, that's right. And the Bible said when he saw him, he had compassion on him. What a picture of Christ. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And he said, preacher, all that's great, but where's the substitution? Listen to what the Bible said. And set him up on his own beast. Can I show you something? Let me show you what that good Samaritan did. He came to that man John by the wayside. The Bible said that he came to where he was, had compassion on him, bound up his wounds, poured in the oil and wine, carried forward. And you know what happened? Surely that Samaritan took that man that was down the dust, and down the dirt, down the ditch, and put him up on his beast. Amen, friend, y'all ain't getting that. Put him up on his beast. And now that Samaritan is the one down on the ground. Isn't that right? Is that not what the Lord did? What if we consider like this? The Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. Isn't that right? Yeah. He came to where I was. God hit me. So that I can go where He is. He substituted His life for mine. And God's always required a substitute in bloodshed. And all that tonight is pictured in them ram skins I have. It's a substitutionary work of Christ. Those rams had to die so that those on the inside could be covered. That's right. Oh, that's right, friend. Oh, yes. I don't know if you get there or not, but I got to hurry. I'd like to cover this last one if I got time. So we see the good Samaritan. Let me say this. Oh, this can be said in the ram skin. Christ took our place, our substitute, so that we can enter into the presence of God, being covered by the blood that He shed. So we see that ram skin's dyed red, but what about that badger skin? I hurry tonight. I just got about 3 points, but you have to bear with me, all right? I really ought to take more time than I'm going to, but we're going to get through it, okay? That badger skin, that outer covering. Notice for me, first of all, the lack of beauty. Now, I will say this. This model this evening is not perfect, okay? So you bear with me. You don't have to agree with what I'm about to tell you, but just bear with me, okay? Now listen to me. These badger skin almost seem as though they don't belong in the tabernacle. I mean, now listen to me. Let's slow down just a minute. I understand the beauties on the inside. I understand the goat's hair. I understand the ram skin dyed red. But what I can't wrap my mind around is, after all that, why cover up all that beauty with badger skin? Right? Doesn't seem like it fits. Doesn't seem like it makes much sense. All that beauty, they have no colorful beauty. They're just dull. Drab, just a leather covering that would have been bluish gray in appearance. And I know what you're thinking. I'm going to cover when it would have been bluish gray right here in just a minute, okay? Would have been bluish gray in appearance. This covering would have been continually exposed to the elements. It was completely weatherproof. This is the weatherproofing of the tabernacle. This, Kurt's what keeps everything dry. It's what keeps the storms out. Yeah. It's what keeps the wind out. What keeps those on the inside safe and secure. Doesn't look like much. How many compared to what you see on the inside just seems so insignificant. But had it not been for this, there'd have been no inside to see. It would have been demolished by the wind and the rain. Oh, God, hit me. I hope you're getting me out. Had it not been for the badger's skin, had there been no inside to see, the boards would have been blown down. The rain would have ruined everything. Had there been no inside, had to be an outside covering that was completely weatherproof. Watch this. Remember, it was the only thing visible to those on the outside. No hint. You put this covering on, there's no hint to the outsider of the beauties that await inside. Is that right? You don't see the gold furniture. You don't see the golden candlestick. You don't see the altar of incense. You don't see the boards that have been gilded with pure gold. You don't see it. You don't see the tapestry of the first covering. All that's covered in old bluish gray badger skin. Seems so strange. See, the lack of beauty just seems strange that God would do that. They said, preacher, what's that? What's it symbolize? Speaks of the humanity of Christ. As He walked upon the earth, shows what He looked like. They said, preacher, I don't understand. What's that inner, that very inner covering? That's the resurrected glory of Christ. That's how He appears now. When He came to earth, John, He didn't come in that glory. He didn't come as the King of Kings. To the world, nor did He come as just a lowly man. Is that right? Yeah. Just a carpenter's son. Is that right? That, watch this. I'm getting ahead of myself. His deity was cloaked in humanity. He endured the scourging and the sufferings of the cross, taking upon Himself the wrath of God toward sin, so that you and I could enter in to the presence of God to worship, being placed in Christ. What did Isaiah say? Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Listen to this. He hath no form nor comeliness. Is that right? And when we shall see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. Is that right? Isaiah said, and you believe what you want to. I don't even believe Ronald Isaiah understood exactly what he's saying. Paul told us the church was a mystery to the Old Testament prophets. Isn't that right? They didn't understand, they didn't see everything. But Isaiah said, for some reason when He comes, He'll have no form, no comeliness. We see Him. We don't even desire. That's why He came to the bowl and His home was received in God. He didn't look like they thought He would. There was no appeal. He didn't come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't come as the Messiah. He came and had no form, no covenants, no beauty they should desire Him. And the very ones that He came were the ones that crucified Him. No form of what's what verse 3 said? Isaiah said, He is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. My soul, watch this, His deity. Now, you know what I mean when I say His deity, don't you? He is Godhood. Who He is, God. So what He did, He cloaked His deity in humanity. All the splendors, all the beauty, all the majesty was cloaked in humanity. Do you realize tonight, God, if you've seen it, it would look so different than your eyes. His face didn't shine as the sun like on Mount Transfiguration. He was transfigured before, but it was on the inside out. But every day, God, His face didn't shine like that. Nobody saw Him and just said, that must be somebody special. He was clothed that in humanity. He clothed Himself. Now watch this. That outer covering, I told you, been bluish gray, weatherproof. It endured the storms. It endured the wind. It protected what was on the inside. Y'all, it may. Watch this. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, He has made us kings and priests. All right? You know what the priest could do? The priest could go in. All right? The safest place in the camp of Israel was the tabernacle. All right? Storm come. That badger's skin was waiting for it. When the wind blew, that badger's skin could take it. I'm going to go get in there tonight. I'm going to tie it in right here in just a minute.
The badger skin show all that the world can see of the person of Jesus Christ. They all see the human body in which He bore our sins on Calvary. Now watch this now. It was in that body they placed the crown of thorns upon His head. Is that right? It was in that body. God, hit me. It was in that body, in that flesh, that they smote His face. It was in that flesh they plucked at His beard. It was in that flesh, in that body, that they spat upon Him and mocked Him. Isn't that right? It was in that body they beat Him beyond recognition. Now, it was in His visage was marred on any other man. It was in that body that He endured the wrath of man. Isn't that right? Put Him on Calvary. 6 hours on Calvary. 3 of them daylight. 3 of them barred. Listen to me. And all He endured the wrath of man. Remember what He said? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Surely when He has sinned, when my sin, your sin, went upon Him, God cannot look on sin. There I am. He turned His back to His Son. Darkness on the whole earth. That's 3 hours. And for 3 hours, God poured out His wrath on His Son and His judgment on the And He endured in that body. That right. That outer covering. So first of all, you say that outer covering took the storm. That outer covering took the wind. That outer covering took the beating. Those that were inside were safe, warm, and dry. Never felt a raindrop. Never felt a wind blow. Because that bad is. Well, I told some of them the other day, sometime this year, we ought to try to get together and go up there, go to the Ark up there in Kentucky. We do. I want you to remember something. That Ark's a picture of God. God planted a judgment on sin. God put the earth, but He went away with sin. Is that right? Noah and his family went where? In the Ark. Please call us something about us being placed in. While that rain fell, the wind blew, the waves crashed. That ark took it off. No one is going to be saved in the ark. The wind blew, the rain fell. Those priests were saved in the tabernacle. Can I say this tonight? You know why you and I don't have to go to hell? God's already poured His judgment. God's already poured His judgment on my sins, your sins. Out on His Son, and in His flesh, He endured the wrath of God so that you and I could be saved from hell. What about that? What about that? I don't know if y'all are getting that or not, but I'm just about to come slack on the left. That badger skin may not look like mine. That protected everything else, endured the elements. That's His humanity. Underneath that's the blood. Shed His blood in that flesh while He endured the wrath of man, the wrath of God. Underneath that goat's hair, that's where He's our sin bearer. Bore our sins, took the wrath of God in our place. And underneath that is the splendor and the deity. That's what you and I see looking at Him from the inside. My, it's more than just what the world sees. Isn't he more tonight than just a teacher? Isn't he more tonight than just a prophet? God help us, he's our all in all. All that tonight, picture. My Kendra asked me today, she says, this is going to be the last week we'll be on the tabernacle. I said, it might be the last night we'll be on the coverings. But they sold so much more. Can I give you a few things real quick? And I'll hurry. So we see the lack of beauty. Then I want to explain to you why that leather looked like it did. What time is it? I'll finish by 8. I'll be done preaching by 8 o'clock. I'm going to read it to you. The word badger that we have in our Bible in the Hebrew, it literally is the word takash. Now, and I'm not saying your Bible's wrong. That's all I'm trying to say. But most scholars believe that that word takash carries the idea, as it means in Hebrew, something that we don't think much of. Now, when I think of a badger, I think of a small creature. But that word takash could possibly have meant porpoise. It would have been related to a dolphin, to a whale. And it would have been abundant in the Red Sea, Nile River. It would have been abundant. Now, most believe that's what's been referred to by badger skin. They believe it's that porpoise leather, and I'm going to show you here in just a minute why they think that. Now, it was closely related to the dolphin whale, and made excellent leather, and would have been completely waterproof. Completely. Would have made sense, Ronald, to put that as the outer cover. Completely waterproof, right? That badger skin like you and I think of would have been no more waterproof really than anything. But that porpoise skin, that gray bluish leather, that would have been completely waterproof. And it was abundant for the Red Sea, for the Nile River of Egypt, would have been abundant. And that's where they're coming from, by the way, in case you forgot. They're coming out of Egypt, isn't that right? They come out of Egypt, come across the Red Sea, now they're in the wilderness. Now, so we see the lack of beauty and we see the leather, but then I want you to notice the lesson. There's a lesson to be learned from this. While they were in Egypt, they would have had no... desert. Is that right? Now they're in when the Bible says wilderness, it's talking about a desert. It's not a wilderness like you. It's not talking about a great forest. It's talking about a desert. The dry place. Ain't no rivers, ain't no lakes, ain't no seas. They've been hard pressed to find a dolphin out there on a rock somewhere in there. So they must, if it is this porpoise leather, they must have brought some of it with them. Isn't that right? They must have had a reason to bring it with them. They weren't just brought it with them with no reason. They must have had a reason to bring it. Now, watch this. It becomes evident they must have stocked up on the leather before leaving Egypt and for a good reason. Now, here's what the Bible says. You take it however you want to take it. I'm not going to fall out with you if you don't agree. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 10. Here's what your Bible says. The Lord speaking said, I clothed thee also with broidered work. Shod thee, now notice that, shod thee with badger skin. Girded thee about with fine linen. And I covered thee with silk. Now, notice the phrase. He said, he shod thee with badger skin. It's obvious that this badger skin or porpoise leather was used to make shoes. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, preacher, it could have still been badger skins. They could have made shoes out of it. Well, you're right. But the reason they believe that is they do have evidence that the Egyptians made their shoes or made their sandals from porpoise skin. And the Israelites were in Egypt for over 400 years. Is that right? So, makes sense. They would have probably made their shoes out the same thing. Now, let me ask you a question. You remember the events leading up to this? It wasn't just one day they said they were going to go. Like, oh, it was a long thing. Remember, the Moses go before Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart. God sent a plague. Pharaoh hardened his heart. God sent a plague. I mean, they had some preparation. Now, if you realize you're getting ready to hike out through the desert, you didn't know what was waiting on you when you got where you was going. Don't you reckon you might have made some preparation? Is that right? I wanted some shoes. Is that right? I wanted to make sure me and my family had some shoes if I was going to hike out across the desert. That right here. So that's where they get that opinion. You don't have to agree with it. That's where they get.
Now, watch this. Middle of the desert land, the Lord demands they give the very thing that's used to make their shoes. Whether it's porpoise leather or badger skin, whatever it is, we know they use it to make their shoes. That's what the Bible says. In the middle of a desert land, God says, give it to me. Is that right? Now, I'm not too smart, but there's a whole lot of things in the desert I don't much want to step on. Is that right? And I'm not too smart. Never been out in the desert. Don't much care to be honest with you. But I'll be honest with you. You go down to the beach or the coast, we're good Baptists. We don't go to the beach, we go to the coast. You go down to the coast, let that sun get real hot, and you walk barefoot across that sand, especially if you ain't got no light, water's washing up. It's hot. Is that right? And they needed shoes. And it seems like God came to give the very thing they need for to make that cut. That right? Now watch this. We're going to get to the lesson. Seems like a strange thing for God to ask. Now, he knew, and we know, they're going to spend 40 years in that desert. 40 years they're going to wander in the desert, in the wilderness. They're going to need some shoes. Is that right? How could he ask for the leather for their shoes? But he always has an answer, isn't that right? You say, oh, preacher, what's he going to do? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 4, listen to what your Bible said, and I'm almost done. The Lord speaking said, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee. You know what he's saying? Your clothes never got old. Is that right? Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Deuteronomy 29:5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Thy shoes not waxing old upon thy foot. Now let's stop a minute. Chapter 29 of Deuteronomy. Verse 5, here's what he tells them. He said, your clothes hadn't waxed old and your shoes hadn't either. Now, some of you might, but I dare say there's many in here got a pair of shoes you've had for the last 40 years. Is that right? Is that right? Now listen to me. I'm not just talking about adults. They was babies come out of Egypt. They was toddlers come out of Egypt. 40 years, them shoes never waxed old. Deuteronomy chapter 5 said your foot didn't swell. You know what that meant? They never outgrew them. That's more miraculous to me than the fact they didn't wear out. Them boys seemed like, Corey, every 2 weeks we're going to buy them new shoes, and then and we probably ought to do it more than that. I'm thinking about just cutting a toe out of them and letting them wear them. I mean, it seems constant they're outgrowing their shoes. Do you realize those little 3-4-year-old youngins come out of Egypt that wore the same shoes 40 years later? 12-13-year-olds that when they was 50, 60 years old, still wearing the same shoe they was 40. Are you getting me? That's amazing to me. Do you realize Joshua had the same pair of shoes on? God, when he marched around Jericho, he had the same shoes on the day that he started marching. That's amazing to me. Watch this. Nehemiah was so impressed with it. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 21, he said, yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness. Listen to this. So that they lacked nothing. What about that? Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. You know what Nehemiah said? Now listen, everything for this tabernacle, God required at the hand of the children of Israel. This brazen laver, that come from the women's mirrors. That's where it come from. Their looking glass. They take brass, Kirk, they polish it, they get it real, real shiny. That's what them women would look in. God said, I need it. Is that right? They give it to him. All that fine linen, all the brass, all the silver, all the gold, all the tapestry, all the skins, it was required from the people. Remember we talked about that silver, that atonement money. God required it at their hand to make that silver foundation. The people had to supply it. But you know what Nehemiah said? He said, you so sustained them for 40 years, they never lacked
for one thing. That's amazing. Isn't that right? Say, preacher, what's the lesson? That badger skin come from what they was going to make their shoes out of. Is that right? 40 years they wandered. What every bit of provision they had went in the covering of that tabernacle. But can I say this? Now listen to me, and listen to me well. I'm going to read it to you, and I'm done. The Lord required the leather they needed for their shoes, but He made the shoes they had to last for 40 years. Their feet never swelled. Now listen to me. Get this if you don't get anything else. The Lord always, not sometimes, not maybe, but always honors sacrifice made by His people. Always. And meets any need that might arise from that sacrifice. Now, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, so let me say it again. The Lord always honors sacrifice from His people, and He always meets that need. That's why Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The context, what Paul was saying was, because you give to me, if any need arises, God will honor your sacrifice and meet that need. Listen to me. I wasn't planning on going here, but I just put a little nudge. Don't ever get the mentality, well, we're just a little church. What can we do? God always honors the sacrifice of His people and will meet the need that arises. Is that right? That's exactly right. Now, I'm not trying to make you nervous, but I'll tell you this. If we had a missionary here tonight, and we found out their car was messed up, and we got together with the right intent and the right heart. Now, I'm not talking about just to brag, but with the right heart. We got together and said, let's buy them a new vehicle. God honors that sacrifice, and any need that arises will be met. That's biblical. Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need. He might not always give it back to you, but He might just make that heat pump last another 10 years. Is that right? He might not give it back to you, but He might just bless you in a way you didn't think about. He always honors sacrifice. When God's people give with the right heart of their time, of their money, when they sacrifice, God honors it and will meet that need. Is that right? Stand to our feet.